This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of endlessly searching for work? Applying for jobs, never hearing back? Job openings vanish into thin air? What if there was one connection you could make and that'll link you to dozens of companies that are hiring? What if the connection was a locally owned business ready to help you and they don't charge you? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Expresspros.com.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here. A lot to talk about. Jay Billis, the Get Off My Lawn guy from ESPN, will join us. Also, go out to the Combine. The NFL is full speed ahead for an 18-game schedule. Not a question of if, but when that is going to happen. And I do think they're going to modify, or at least try to, the kickoff. Have that for you coming up. Mike Florio will join us coming up a little bit later on. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you. And download the app if you haven't done so. You can watch this program and our radio affiliates. We're over 400 cities now in America. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. And the first hour brought to you by TireRack.com. You need tires? They've got them for you. May not need them now, but when you do, TireRack.com, full lineup of Bridgestone tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. 877-3DP-SHOW, operator Tyler sitting by. Take your phone calls as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. I want to start out with the loss of Chris Mortensen, a former co-worker of mine during my 18 years at ESPN. And Peter King, Chris Mortensen, Mel Kiper, they made the NFL 365 because Mel would have his drafts. You had Peter always, you know, covering the sport year-round, Chris Mortensen breaking news year-round. So we were very fortunate that, and the NFL very fortunate, that you had these people covering the sport and making it a year-round job. And Mort is, well, was one of the most professional people I ever met. And I remember saying this to one of our bosses at ESPN. We were waiting for a second source on something. Mort had reported something. We were waiting for a second source. And I said to my boss, we don't need one. Mort's reporting it. And it turned out that it was true what Mort was reporting. But I had so much confidence in Mort whenever he had a story. And he was fun to be around. There was no ego around Chris Mortensen. He loved the sport. He appreciated the sport. If he gave you his word, then that meant everything to him. And to be able to have him on the show, whether it's SportsCenter or radio, he was always available, always made himself available because he knew it was for the betterment of the sport, but also for ESPN. And when it came to breaking news, Chris Mortensen was the guy. And a great reporter as well, had stops at a few newspapers. But when we got him at ESPN, you know, I give credit to John Walsh, who is my former boss. He understood what the content part of the business was all about. You can show highlights, but you had to break news. Brought in Peter Gammons, had Chris Mortensen. You had people who could, you know, change the sport by telling you something was going to happen before anybody else. And it became must-see TV. But Chris Mortensen, good man. Good man. Great reporter, and passing away over the weekend. All right, poll question. What do we have, Seton? What are we going to start with, hour one?
Well, we could start with women's college basketball.
Okay.
we could say women's college basketball has had a moment or changed forever?
Well, I look at this and I wonder, is it a moment or is it a movement?
Right.
Because the moment is Caitlin Clark. This year, the last 2 years has been Caitlin Clark. It's a moment. But how does the sport build upon that? Is it just based off Caitlin Clark? Is there Caitlin Clark's, you know, who will follow? Just like Steph Curry. There have been players who are trying to emulate Steph Curry. The, you know, we're still not there yet if we ever get there. But with Caitlin Clark now leaving college basketball and going to the WNBA, does she bring the movement to the WNBA? And this would be a concern. I would love to see that we get to the moment, we get to the point that women are leaving early for the WNBA, but they're leaving because they can make as much, if not more, money. They should be, but that's not the case with NIL, these collectives. Caitlin Clark had all of these endorsements here, but I'm wondering, if somebody's going to break her record, then they have to stay 4 years to break her record. If somebody is averaging 30 a game, are we going to get to the point where they go, I can make more money in the WNBA? That's really, I think, the key, what I'll watch with Caitlin Clark. Does the NBA grow? WNBA grow? Because college basketball, you know, we have the same storylines. You have these players who were staying 3 years or 4 years. You have great coaches. You have great teams. You have great traditions. But is it a moment? Does this make the sport bigger? Does it make it better? Does it make it more lucrative? Those are things. And it's not fair to put that on her, but she is sort of the battering ram here if we're able to have that translate to the WNBA. Is it a moment or is it a movement? All right, what else do you have, Seton?
Yeah, it's because it's interesting. Some people get so big that they, and you know, she's kind of hit that, Caitlin Clark has hit that point maybe where she's just so gigantic that she is the whole movement.
Yeah, she's Taylor Swift right yeah. now. As Holly Rose said to us last week, she's Taylor Swift. But I do think once guys start defending, like, hey, but she's not Pete Maravich, like, now you know that she's hit a nerve.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you know? Yeah. Like dudes
First
would be
of
like,
all, Pete did it in 3 years,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So just...
And I've heard the arguments. I've actually got into the arguments. And I said, look, I was able to see Pete play. I appreciate Pete. Love Pete. He took 42 shots per game. Caitlin Clark takes 22. Yes, Pete didn't have the three-point shot. If you said, I'll give Pete the three-point shot, but I'll give Caitlin 42 shots per game. Okay, then maybe have a discussion there. But I do like that guys get a little protective there. And nobody loved Pete more than I did. But still, what Caitlin's doing is amazing. It's selling out places, going from city to city, and it's must-see TV. You know, the fact that Fox or ESPN, they're showing this. Yesterday afternoon, got Gus Johnson calling the game. You got Travis Scott there. Celebrities are there. Maya Moore came out to see her. Nolan Ryan came out to see her. I mean, this is a big deal. I just don't know if it's just a big deal now and then it's not a big deal. And who is the next? Who are the next players? Juju Watkins at USC. She shoots more than Caitlin Clark does, just barely. She's a freshman. Is she going to stay 4 years? Or is she going to say, there's no reason to go to the WNBA to make $250,000 where I can make $500,000 at USC? That's what this moment is facing. But, like, you know, men's college basketball, there's no temperature there. I mean, there's some good teams. I think UConn's a wonderful team to watch. They're not a traditional exciting team, and you know, with today's three-point shot, and they're a really good team. But they, you know, do they have name recognition? Any stars? You know, any NBA first rounders? Maybe, but they're just a really good team. Purdue, Zach Edey, okay, but you know, tell me five really good basketball players for men. And if you don't cover the sport, like there's nobody that's kind of stepping out and transcending the sport where you go, I got to watch that guy. We have that with Caitlin Clark. You've had that with UConn women's basketball teams. Diana Taurasi is my favorite one of my favorite basketball players and my favorite women's basketball player of all time. I loved watching her play. And there is, I'm glad that we're getting eyeballs on the women's sport as well, because now you're seeing how they play, how they shoot. It's more of basketball. There's movement. By the way, Caitlin Clark's passing, she would be one of the greats of all time by just her passing. She's wonderful. And, you know, it's one of those where there's certain players that they're so creative, so good that their teammates can't keep up with it. Like, they don't see what that person sees. And then sometimes you get hit in the head. You know? Maravich would always, they just never knew where it was coming from. But, you know, if Pete threw it to you, chances are you might not see it and get hit in the head. And Caitlin Clark, you know, to be a team player, you have to be selfish to be that good a scorer. You just do. Every single night, you have to shoot at least 22 times. You have to get those shots. But she also found time to be, you know, somebody who had 1,000 assists in her career. But I do wonder where we go after this with the sport, whether it's college or whether it's the WNBA. What else do you have, Seton?
We can shift over to the combine if you want. J.J. McCarthy, ..
Oh, man.
Should get credit for going to the combine or had to go to the combine?
Okay. You don't get credit for going to the combine.
Some people do.
Well, you can get credit for working out at the combine, I guess.
Yeah.
But it felt like...
I didn't mean like just being in
attendance. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'll change it to working out at the combine.
Hey, J.J. McCarthy.
He was just sitting in the stands. I didn't mean it like that.
Got to give him credit. Yeah. I talked to a source over the weekend who was at the combine. And I said, just help me out with J.J. McCarthy. Because it just feels like now all of a sudden we're being inundated with, oh, my God, J.J. McCarthy's moving up the draft board. And maybe he is. And maybe he'll be a top 10 pick. Still feels like it's either the Vikings or the Broncos who are going to take him. But that's just obviously speculation with mock drafts. But I'm watching and I'm going, okay. And then I hear this, well, he's a dual threat. No, he's not. If I looked at his total yards for his career at Michigan, Jaden Daniels rushed for more yards this year at LSU than J.J. McCarthy did in his entire career.
Woo! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Yes, Paulie?
It was funny to watch the coverage, NFL Network's coverage this weekend when J.J. McCarthy got out there. They unveiled the measurables, and Peter Schrager's like, you know, he's taller than what we thought. He goes, he is taller than what we thought. And they all go, you know what? He was listed at 207 pounds on the roster this year. He weighed in at 221. That's a great sign. They were like oohing and aahing about it. But I think he suffers from almost like a baby face syndrome. He looks very, very young.
He could be Zach Wilson's younger brother.
That's exactly where I was going. I think he's going to have some of that Zach Wilson looks the star, you know, the WB star quarterback part.
Mm.
But, you know, he's bigger and stronger than what we thought.
Yeah, I don't get it. But then, you know, Sean Payton may see something like, oh, wow, this translates. Or if the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins, then maybe they take J.J. McCarthy. And maybe he's going to be a great quarterback. Yeah. I mean, the draft is littered with, man, I thought that guy was going to be really good, too. Nobody saw that. Yes, Paul.
Don't forget, it's Hand Size Tuesday. Oh. Almost all the numbers are in on quarterback hand measurements.
Oh, my God.
Plan accordingly.
Oh, no.
Take the day off if you have to.
Okay. All right. So there's already some numbers trickling in on hand size?
I've got all the hand sizes already, but I'd like to confirm with second sources because we're journalists.
Okay, of course
we don't want to besmirch anyone's hands.
No. Sorry, Marvin.
It's too early for all this.
Take the day off tomorrow, Marv.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, were you waving goodbye? I didn't see your hand there. See ya.
No breeze from it either.
All righty. So we'll come up with a poll question here. LeBron hits 40,000 points.
Oh.
Okay. Like, it's interesting with, you know, he's just adding to his total, whereas Caitlin Clark actually surpassed a number. And that's kind of the difference. You can't really, I mean, do you celebrate 40,000 just because it's a round number? We love to do that. Yeah, you got 40,000. Okay. If you got to 39,999, nope, can't celebrate 40,000. But Caitlin Clark surpasses Pete Maravich, therefore, we do have an accomplishment. Like, she surpassed somebody. I love that Lynette Woodard was honored there as well. I thought that was wonderful. I'm glad that people have recognized and realized, you know, some of the other players before Caitlin Clark. And I think that's what's been great about this. There are probably people who were 40 years or younger had no idea about Pete Maravich. Like, he was, you know, the mythological, where you go, yeah, I heard about this Maravich guy. He averaged 44 a game. Golly. And then all of a sudden you see the highlights and you go, and I talked to a friend of mine who covers the NBA, and we were talking about Maravich. We're around the same age, and he agrees with me. We were talking about how Pete scored so much that he got bored by it because there was nothing he could do where you go, oh, Pete had 52, and be like, yeah. I remember when Pete had 68 against the Knicks without a three-point shot. And he did it in a way that, I mean, he should have had 80. And there's no three-point shot. Yes, Marv.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm a little deaf in this ear. I thought you said 68.
He had 68 against the Knicks.
With no three-point line?
Yeah.
Was that on Walt Frazier, probably?
Walt Frazier, Dean Memminger, and I think there was a guy named Henry Bacon, maybe out of Louisville. I think those were the three guys who guarded him. But I think he had 68 against the Knicks. And if you watch the game, you're going, oh my God. Like, he missed some easy shots. He should have had 80. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, Maravich in that game, I got the box score, 26 of 43 from the field, 16 of 19 from the free throw line, 68 points, 6 assists. He faced Bob McAdoo, Earl Monroe, Tom McMillan, Walt Frazier, and Bill Bradley, and Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Amongst the people he faced.
Yeah. He's 68. And leave it to me, when Walt Frazier went into the Basketball Hall of Fame, I talked to Walt Frazier, and one of the things I said, you know, because he was a great defensive player, and I said, how could you give up 68 to Maravich? And he goes, I didn't guard him the whole time. Like, it's his weekend, and I'm ruining it because I'm bringing up, how could you let him score 68 on you guys? You guys played great defense. Yeah, Paulie.
Just to work in a Michael Jordan mention, Michael's best game ever scoring was 69 points. He had 2 3-pointers in that game.
Yeah.
Mm. Only 2.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else that needs to be mentioned here? Mike Evans. Got some Mike Evans news. Got some Mike Evans news.
And I've been waiting for that.
Oh, well, future Hall of Famer, Mike Evans. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Jay Billis set to join us as well. We'll take a break. Just getting started here. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Before we get to Jay Billis, this in from NFL Network, Mike Evans, $52 million over 2 years to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's great. If I'm Baker Mayfield, that certainly would help me with my decision if you get an offer that's comparable with another team. Atlanta is a team to keep an eye on. Also, the Patriots for Baker Mayfield. This is just chatter out of the combine. It could be motivated by, you know, Baker's representatives of, hey, if the Buccaneers aren't going to pay, there's other teams that could be interested. All right, let's get to Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst, and the recipient of the Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame. What was that day like in 2016 when you got that?
It was awesome. You don't often hear my name associated with any sort of hall or fame or anything. So it was fantastic. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, good. Speaking of great, what's more impressive to you, Caitlin Clark, what she did in her career, or LeBron getting to 40,000 points?
Wow. I don't. That's a difficult comparison. They're both amazing. And that kind of brings up an interesting point, is almost our need to go away from celebrating the accomplishment and then, you know, try to put it in a different context. Like when Tiger Woods wins the Masters, we don't say, who's better, Tiger or Jack, you know, when he's getting the green jacket put on him. But we seem to do that for some reason now. I don't know what the greater accomplishment was. All I know, Dan, is Caitlin Clark is a supernova, the likes of which we've never seen, certainly in women's basketball and arguably in college basketball, period. And it has been amazing to see her fill all these arenas and to play the way she plays, to play with that kind of joy, which I think is an additive to just her scoring. And then one thing that gets overlooked a little bit, maybe not by some of the basketball experts that cover games, but she's an extraordinary passer. There's no other scorer that I know of on that list of the greatest scorers in women's basketball and even men's that is as high up on the assist level as she is. I mean, she's a magnificent passer in addition to being an unbelievable scorer.
Yeah, and I wonder if it translates to the WNBA. Like, is this a moment or is this a movement where maybe the WNBA starts to get more recognition? And that's not fair to say to her, hey, you got to be the person who's going to lift up the WNBA after you did this for college basketball. But I wonder, how does the WNBA benefit from this, aside from, you know, Caitlin playing in Indiana?
I think the WNBA will benefit from having all those eyeballs going toward her and then the eyeballs catching how much great play there is aside from her. I mean, it's a spotlight that'll illuminate a lot more than just her. So there's nothing but pluses there. You know, we had an interesting conversation about Caitlin Clark a few weeks ago on College Game Day where there was the point made, can you really call her great if she hasn't won a championship yet, even though I was in the championship game last year against LSU? And it sort of brought up the idea of it is a fair discussion. Who's the greatest women's player of all time, just like it is who's the greatest, like Pete Maravich was the all-time leading scorer, but I wouldn't say he was the greatest player ever in men's college basketball. So those are good discussions, but we don't, you know, it's like the nuance gets lost in the accomplishment. Like her accomplishment is fact. Like there's no debate. She's the greatest scorer in Division I history. Now there is a discussion about, you know, whether these records, you know, there's a woman named Pearl Moore who scored over 4,000 points before the NCAA was started for women's basketball. You know, she played at Francis Mary in South Carolina, played for Sylvia Hatchell, who later became the head coach at North Carolina. And why doesn't the NCAA, recognize those records, recognize Lynette Woodard's records? Lynette Woodard played at Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she played at some tiny little college that didn't play against anybody. So those are other sort of nuanced discussions that we seem incapable of having while the record was just broken.
Okay, so how do you quantify her career? Jay Williams, you know, your teammate on College Game Day, he's the one that said, can't call her great, she hadn't won titles. So,
yeah, I differed with it at the time. I think great and greatest are two different discussions. And I think it is a fair discussion to say was Diana Taurasi the better player or was Cheryl Miller the better player? We can have those discussions, but nothing gets accomplished there because those are fun barroom discussions. Just like, you know, we can sit and talk about the greatest golfer and we're going to argue over Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus, and somebody's going to say, hey, 18 versus 15, end of discussion. And it's a little more nuanced than that too. But at the end of that discussion, what's really accomplished? Because, you know, Pete Maravich, you could say, well, wait a minute. Pete Maravich only played 3 years. He didn't have a three-point shot. He did play in a segregated SEC where there were only white guys playing. But at the same time, he averaged 44 points a game for his career. So when we argue about greatest scorer, you know, that's a nuanced part of the discussion. But, you know, you ultimately circle back to one thing there's no discussion about is Caitlin Clark of Iowa has scored more points than anyone that has played Division I college basketball. That's a fact.
I love that we're even getting into these kind of conversations because, you know, when Kelsey Plum was doing what she was doing, we weren't saying, yeah, well, but she's not Pete Maravich. Now when you have a nickname of, you know, Ponytail Pete or, you know, what her nickname was in high school, now she surpasses him on the all-time scoring record. But I could look at Breonna Stewart as the greatest women's college basketball player of all time. Like 4 years, four titles, and MVP in those four. I mean, you can't do any better than that.
That's right. And, you know, you could bring up Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it does not, when we're discussing the best player ever in the NBA, for some reason, he's not brought up as early as a person like me thinks he should be. But again, those are just subjective barroom discussions that are media discussions that are great. They're fun. But Caitlin Clark's presence and what she has done to elevate the game, to your point about Kelsey Plum, we didn't pay as much attention to Kelsey Plum's records. And we're paying more attention now because of how she and others, it's not just her, but she's been the lead dog in this, has elevated the college game.
He's Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst and a nominee for the Get Off My Lawn guy after the court storming. I took a little abuse.
I prefer old man yelling at clouds, frankly.
Okay. You took a couple of slings and arrows there, but you held your own a little bit. Did it hurt?
No, because it's another thing where nuance gets lost. Like the whole discussion was the NCAA or the institutions or the conferences, they're not going to do anything about this anyway. And they say they can't, you know, experts tell them that they can't stop it because it would cause more problems. They could stop it tomorrow if they wanted. And obviously, detaining people and giving them citations like you would on the side of a road, give somebody a ticket, is more to the extreme side. I mean, they could hire way more security, but that's going to cost them way more money. Yeah. And you could certainly, you could stop it tomorrow if you wanted to. They don't want to, and that's okay. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of loving it. I mean, there have been times in my career, Dan, where I thought it was fine. But then you see when I was at NC State, when they had a court storming and there was people that got hurt, and you're just asking yourself, well, is it worth it? And for some people, like fans, seem to think they're entitled to it. But I raised a point on a show called Pardon My Take about Kansas. You know, they were talking about passion, if I remember right. Like it shows the passion of the fans, the court storming. And like it's after the game's over. It's great. It's a great celebration. But the passion is shown, in my view, during the game.
Yeah.
And there's no better place than Kansas, and they don't have any court stormings. And it shows and I think the response was, well, they don't storm the court because they win all the time. I mean, that's not the point I was making, but you know, sometimes nuance gets lost. That's okay. That's what we do.
Yeah, I understand it. And I was there at the mothership. We glamorized this. Championship week. Everybody wanted to be on TV. Now you got kids who want to be, you know, on TikTok while they go on the court. You know, hey, what could go wrong here? So I just said, if you can get the police, surround the team, let the teams know, hey, this is going to happen at the end of the game. You'll get police to get the basketball team off the floor. I mean, you have to ensure the safety of that opposing basketball team. That's imperative. The students, that's going to be on the university.
Right. No, I agree with all of that. But just when you start talking about, okay, now we have to have a police presence to protect the players because we're accepting that this is going to happen. And we have rules in place at these conferences that it shouldn't happen. So it's prohibited, but there's a nod and a wink that we're going to allow it and just protect the players. And look, I get all of it. Everybody wants to show that they're passionate. Part of this is for recruiting. Part of it's for marketing. And look, I'm not saying that we're evil because we show it, but we can't like sit here and rail, this is wrong, this is wrong, when we do it.
Yeah.
You know, we're part of it that way. It doesn't mean that it's this horrible thing that everybody needs to be called on the carpet, but you know, we need to acknowledge that we glorify it, or certainly use it to our benefit.
How much of a concern is it for you that the regular season, men's regular season, kind of lacks those big games, big moments? You know, March Madness stands alone. We don't even know the players, but we still watch because you're able to do your brackets. You know, the casual fan is not aware. What can college basketball do, in your opinion, to make these regular season games maybe more must-see TV?
Well, for a significant segment of the viewers' population, it is must-see TV. The ratings prove it. Like, it's not like our ratings are going down. That's not happening. And I get it. Like, we've become a football culture.
Yeah.
And so at all these different media companies, yours included, you cover football more than anything else. And you cover basketball more when we get toward the NCAA tournament. And that's fine. Like, my phone is a great example of it. Like, my phone rings off the hook for interviews from now until April, the middle of April. It doesn't ring as much during the regular season. It used to ring a lot more. That's because football is dominating that space, and it's dominating that space at my company. I think it is at yours. You look everywhere else. That's just the way it is. That's more popular. Like, we're into analytics too, and we know what people watch more than other things. I think at ESPN, I think this is right. We have more college basketball games on the air than anything else. Way more than NFL games. I mean, it's not even close. But we cover the NFL at a much higher rate, including during the offseason, at a much higher rate than anything else. And that's business. So I'm not concerned about it at all. It's fine with me. you just have to deal with it. But you know, coverage, how do you get coverage? The most I'm ever called is when somebody in college basketball during the regular season does something stupid. There's that court storming thing. It has very little to do with the play on the floor or the players or the coaches. It's really about controversy. But that's the way the media business has gone, and I'm fine with it. It's just the way it is.
But you have to admit, I mean, there's no star power in men's basketball. Like crossover star power. Like where you go, I mean, Zach Edey, all right, you can tune in. I mean, Zion 4 years ago, but, I mean, he's the exception here.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. But Caitlin Clark is the exception in the women's game. But the point is, what do you do? You have to have something like that in order to move football out for that small amount of time you get to talk about it. So I get that. I'm not concerned about it. It's not like the NBA is squeezing out football either, because it's not. And there are stars in baseball. That's not squeezing out football. You know, we've got something in football that has sort of dominated our culture, and I have no problem with it. I'm not sitting here going, hey, talk more about basketball. You know, I talk about it when it's time to talk about it. If people don't want to, if they'd rather talk about football, what am I going to do? I'm not going to stop anybody.
Best team right now is who?
UConn. They're the best team. And it's kind of amazing, Dan, that they had all those losses from last year's national championship team. And relative to the field, in the last month or two, they're better against the field this year than they were against the field last year. People tend to forget that last year they were the best team in the first month and a half of the season. They rose to number two, but they were the best team. I think most of us recognized that and said so. And then they went through a lull where they lost 6 of 8 in Big East play and lost in the semifinals of their conference tournament to Marquette. But when the tournament started, there was no question. This year they're the recognized favorite, but they have competition. But because of the transfer portal, talent is more spread out. So we've seen a little more what people like to call parity in the game. And now we're saying it's going to be a wild tournament. Every time we say it's going to be a wild tournament, it's not as wild as we think. And every time we think we have it knocked, then it's wild. So I have no idea what's going to happen, and that's kind of delicious.
We'll be calling you over the next couple of weeks, Jay.
Well, you have a direct line. And you know, I really do want to thank you for having me as the Mercedes interview, because I appreciate you sending me the new Mercedes.
Yes.
Thank you. That's going to be great.
Yeah. Keep an eye out. It's going to be in the mail. Package not as big as you might expect. Just
a little matchbox.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say, you know, if it was regular size or not. You'll get your Mercedes. But thank you, Jay.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Jay Billis. Get off my lawn. Get off my court. College basketball analyst. We'll take a break. Got our play of the day coming up. Got phone calls. Settle on our poll question. We'll go to the combine coming up. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. all in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
More of your phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you ours coming up here in a little bit. Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider. He was at the Combine over the weekend. Also, you can check out his weekly First Draft podcast with Mel Kiper, draft expert. Field's updated prospect rankings will be released this Wednesday on ESPN.com. Field, good to talk to you again. Help me understand the J.J. McCarthy love.
Well, first of all, good to be on with you again, Dan. And I think that we all know that quarterbacks are going to be inflated in the pre-draft process because of the fact that it's the hardest position that I would argue in all of sports to find a capable option at. But this offseason is particularly ripe for a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy to move up the board because of the fact that you've got a handful of teams that are all fishing in a very, very small pond right now. If you look at the teams beyond the top three in the current NFL draft order, Chicago, Washington, and New England, you then get to teams starting as soon as, I would argue, pick six, the New York Giants, who might well be in the quarterback market this offseason. You've got the Giants, you've got the Falcons, you've got the Vikings at pick 11, you've got the Broncos at 12, you've got the Raiders at 13, you've got the Steelers at number 20. Then you have other teams, like for example, the Los Angeles Rams, who not for this year, but might be eyeing the future. So the point is that you've got a lot of teams hunting for a quarterback, and there's only one team for Baker Mayfield, and there's only one team for Kirk Cousins, regardless of where those teams are, which is going to lead teams to turn towards the draft. And JJ, I think, probably has put himself in position to be the fourth quarterback off the board relative to where I will have him ranked on Wednesday. I won't spoil it all, but I have him at 27th on my overall prospect rankings. So that will be incongruent with where I think he winds up going in the draft. But this is the quarterback tax that very much impacts in a positive way guys like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but I wonder about this, that he gets credit for going to the combine. Well, yeah. Okay, should you get credit for going to the combine? The other quarterbacks had nothing to gain by working out the top three. And if McCarthy wants to kind of close that gap between the top three quarterbacks and then the fourth quarterback, then I understand him going there. But I don't know. Once again, I don't get the love. I don't understand it because I watch and I didn't think he was the best player on his, his own team or offense. But yeah, it feels like Denver loves him. Maybe Minnesota loves him. Kind of wild. Does he deserve credit for working out at the combine?
Well, so here's what I would say is, first of all, however you and I feel about him might be, it's going to end up being irrelevant because I think the NFL is going to end up liking him a whole lot more than maybe we are talking about him in this vein. And there are certainly some traits to really like about J.J. McCarthy. He's a very good athlete. He has excellent ball placements, and he's able to move and throw on the run, things that are important traits that can travel because the offensive line he'll likely play behind in the NFL is not the one that he played behind at Michigan this year, which had six offensive linemen at the combine. Yeah. So guys who aren't even starters for Michigan are at the combine as one of the 320 or so best prospects. Mel Kiper Jr. reminded me of something early on in the process this year, and he is going to hammer it home with me and anybody else who's involved in the draft, which is that sometimes your first scout on the player, your first instinct on the player, your first evaluation on the player is going to end up being the most accurate relative to where or what he becomes in the NFL. Because events like the Combine are certainly important pieces of the puzzle. But over these past 5 or 6 days, we've seen players who all of a sudden their stock is going way, way, way up without doing anything that actually involved playing a football game. I'm not saying a 40-yard dash is not important, or you know, the bench press or the three-cone drill or anything that they did over these past 5 or 6 days. But I've always felt like maybe the most important part of the Combine is actually the medical evaluation, because that's the kind of stuff that us on the outside don't have great information on. And even teams themselves are going to learn more about, because you can't figure out on film whether a guy has, you know, a bulky knee that needs further examination and the potential for, you know, a second surgery or something of that nature. So while I think the Combine has become the signature event of the NFL offseason, and I certainly love being there, I do think there is a very delicate balance that we must maintain, which is we just spent 5 months watching these guys on the field. And in the case of some of these players, 4 full seasons prior to that. That should be the most important part of the evaluation, but it's very tempting to latch on to record-setting 40 times or guys who can bench press 225 pounds for 35-plus reps.
Talking to Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, after he was in Indianapolis for the Combine. Trade market for Justin Fields is what?
You know, I thought going into the Combine, Dan, that this might end up being one of those where Chicago is, it's like a real estate offer. Like they're managing multiple parties involved. And, you know, it felt a little bit softer coming out of Indianapolis than I had initially anticipated. That being said, even if right now a deal isn't done, and I thought that their general manager, Ryan Poles, was very transparent, actually admirably so, because this is a human situation on top of it being a football situation, about how he wants to make sure that this is done in an expedient manner to not drag things along for Justin Fields if they end up trading him. But once the dominoes start to fall, and we could have a domino fall as soon as tomorrow, that being Baker Mayfield and the possibility of a franchise tag, teams that right now have a plan A or maybe even a plan B will have to pivot to other options. So when I began talking about J.J. McCarthy and referencing how more buyers than there are options, I think that does impact the Fields market, the Justin Fields market, as I do think Chicago will end up finding something that they can get done. And I've found the most relevant data point as far as trade compensation is concerned to be the Sam Darnold deal a few years ago. You have to not look at the results of the trade to Carolina, but rather the fact that Sam was the 3rd overall pick coming into his 4th NFL season, like Justin is. Obviously not all good, but also there are some traits that, you know, teams continue to be interested in Sam Darnold. That's why San Francisco signed him last offseason. So enough there that an acquiring team could compel itself to make the package that Carolina did. So I think a 2nd round pick and maybe a little more is about what it ends up taking to get done to acquire Justin Fields.
18-game schedule, not a question of if, but when?
You know, I've seen the various tidbits of reporting on it, and I felt when we moved from 16 to 17 that the idea of going to 18 was just an eventuality. I didn't have a sense of the timeline, but I think that we have seen, while there was initially some pushback on the idea of going from 16 to 17 games, that, you know, when the NFL consistently churns out 48 or 49 of the top live programming events of the calendar year on TV, that, you know, there's just that much money available, and the money goes into the pockets of the owners, of course, but it also goes in part in the pockets of the NFL players. And when we just saw a week ago that the NFL salary cap for 2024 spiked by $30 million, a previously unprecedented mark, it only further, I think, emboldens the powers that be to consider that 18-game schedule, because if that $30 million spike can be something that can happen more than once ever, it ends up impacting everybody in a very positive manner.
Great stuff, Field. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Right back to you. Thanks for having me.
That's Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, and the weekly podcast, the First Draft podcast with Mel Kiper Jr. And coming up Wednesday, he will have his updated prospect rankings on ESPN.com. All right, let's go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'm going to start with you. Lead us off.
Best of the weekend in a span of under 9 minutes. Islanders center Kyle Palmieri. That's right, I'm going hockey. Gets the natural hat trick. First period at home against the Bruins. 5-1 win. Keeps their Stanley Cup playoff hopes alive. Worst, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Lexington Saturday. 213 points scored. No overtimes. How about a little defense? 111-102 Wildcats. What?
Seton O'Connor.
My worst of the weekend was Seton Hall absolutely getting destroyed by UConn.
Ouch.
That was humiliations galore.
Yes.
Yeah,
ouch.
That was unfortunate.
Ouch.
My best of the weekend, this is going to take me a minute to explain, okay? So I apologize in advance for that.
Okay.
There's a team called Wimbledon FC, all right? And they played soccer in England. They were what some people would say is stolen, but they were bought and moved to another town. That team then became what's called MK Dons. So Wimbledon FC no longer exists. MK Dons is now a new team,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The fan group in Wimbledon started a new team called AFC Wimbledon. They started at the very bottom of the English soccer pyramid. They've waited years and years and years and years and years to getting promoted from going up, I think, 9 tiers of soccer. And they've played this MK Dons team a handful of times, and I think it's been a 2-2 draw. But just this past weekend, AFC Wimbledon beat MK Dons while both of them are in a promotion race. And the place just absolutely went ballistic. To get back your rivals like that, the team that you believe was stolen from you by these owners, and then have to wait all of these years to win year after year to get promoted, to get promoted, to get promoted, only to then pull promotion away from them, or at least take a massive shot away from them, and now you are going to go above where you think that team... It's an unbelievable story.
That's a delicious irony.
It really is. It's something that's very unique to the sport, and it is... It is delicious is exactly the right word, because to finally get revenge, or at least what appears to be revenge, it's not done yet. It's an unbelievable story. I highly suggest people look into it. It's fantastic.
Marvin, best and worst of the weekend.
All right. I don't know what to call it, either the best or the worst of the weekend, but Matt Rempe from the New
Rangers.
York, from the Rangers.
Yeah.
He's played about 6 games, and half of them he's gotten into fights.
I think it's more than that.
I think now
it's become that he's a fan favorite. Every time he's on the ice, people expect him to fight.
I mean, as soon as the puck drops, take the gloves off.
And he's like 6'8".
He's 6'8",
yeah.
But he's got to work on his technique.
Yeah, he got roughed up his last time.
Yeah, and these are dudes probably like my height, maybe a little bit taller, and they're like, yeah, all right, that 6'8" don't mean nothing, because they were just having their way with this young man.
Yep, yep.
And I mean, kudos. I mean, I guess he's tough. I mean, we're stupid.
Yeah, I didn't think there was fighting anymore in hockey. And I still don't get, like, hey, my guy's going to fight your guy. What does that mean? That sets the tone for... Now, you used to have players who would protect your stars. You know, Gretzky had that. I think it was Dave Semenko. But if you messed with Gretzky, you had to mess with this guy. But I don't know... Like, fighting is like, what? Okay, what did you just accomplish? Yeah, Paul.
I love the etiquette of the refs. As long as they're both on their skates, they let them fight. And then if they see there's like a lull in the action, then they decide to go in. But once they hit the deck, because they don't want anyone catching a skate, so they let them fight.
Yes. What else do you have, Marvin?
Other best, our girl, Juju Watkins, 26 points, 12 rebounds. USC beat Arizona State. They're ranked 7th in the country. Hopefully they play Iowa. The NCAA tournament.
That'd be fun. I watched USC against Washington, the men's team. And if you tuned in, I said, hey, LeBron's son plays for USC. And you saw Isaiah Collier. And you would have thought, oh, my God, LeBron's son is awesome. Well, it's Isaiah Collier, a freshman out of Georgia. He was spectacular in this game against Washington. And Bronny didn't play much. And he's got to come back next year, and hopefully healthy off season, given what happened, prior to the start of the season, and then see if he can be a featured guy. He's a kid who's playing college basketball. I mean, there's nothing special right now. I mean, everybody has some special traits. You don't get that far without having something. So when somebody says, "Well, he sees the court well," okay. Hey, he plays tough defense. Okay, I mean, okay, that's not star power. So just watching him, there were quite a few players better than him on the floor. Yes, Paulie, best and worst.
The only worst of the weekend in the Iowa-Ohio State game, this good senior guard, Molly Davis, hurt her knee. It was a really tough play for them. She's a tough player, doesn't get a lot of credit. Best of the weekend, I guess this is a good one with a knee injury. The New York Knicks are having a good season. Their fans are rolling. They're playing good ball. Jalen Brunson, their star guard, hurt his knee. It appears it's a knee bruise and nothing more than that, and there was a big relief in New York.
Yeah, because I saw him as he was going around another player, and he just bumped knees. That's happened to me before. It just hurts. You know, it might swell, have to drain it, but he did have a brace or a sleeve on that knee, but I don't know what, you know, if there was previous injury there, damage there. But, you know, they all wear those basically body sleeves now where it's on your arms and your legs. But, yeah, that was a big loss. I was looking forward to watching him. But then Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing in the game either. Yeah, Paul.
What happened to the days of people in the NBA and college basketball wearing knee pads? I think I know for sure in the NBA, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wore knee pads in the late 70s. Patrick Ewing loved the white knee pads.
Yeah.
You don't see pure knee pads anymore in the NBA.
No, you see these sleeves now. I mean, the knee pads look kind of corny. Wilt used to have knee pads that were on his shins. He wore his knee pads on his shins. I'm not quite sure why, but it was kind of, you know, weird to see that. Yes, Marv.
That's the Allen Iverson effect. He wore a shooting sleeve because he had an injury, and now everybody wears it for a fashion statement.
Well, I would wear one on my left arm if I could, not my right arm. Like, my sleeve would be on my left. Yes, Eden.
It's funny how these kinds of things, like, they permeate all sports. Like, baseball has their own versions. I know, like, for my son's soccer team, every single kid either has their wrist taped or their whole hand is now taped because, like, Karim Benzema tapes his whole hand. So it's like, that's what ballers do. Mm. They have their whole left hand taped.
Mm.
There's, like, no reason for it other than just looks cool.
Style points. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I'm finding old Wilt Chamberlain pictures, and they're pure knee pads. They're pretty long, but he wears them well below his knee, and they're just above the sock. It makes it look like his sock is almost to his knee.
Yeah, I don't know if he got kicked in the shins or something, but he didn't wear his knee pads on his knees.
I've got pictures of him at Kansas way, way back when. Well, he's running track doing high jumping, and he's wearing, they look like shin guards.
Yes, Todd.
In putting on stuff to look tough, how much eye black is required, especially when they put it all over their cheeks and they look like they're in Kiss or something like that, to block the glare of the sun or the lights of the stadium?
Well, they're not using it for that anymore. Justin Fields would just have this black glob that would be down one side of his face there. It doesn't feel. And then Brady used to have, Roethlisberger just had like a little bit there under his eyes. Brady would have just a little bit under his eyes. Yeah, Paul.
I think the forefather of eye black, too much eye black, would be John Randall, yeah, the defensive tackle, yeah, for the Vikings.
Yep.
His stream down his face.
I think Ray Bentley with,
okay,
the Colts.
Checking.
I think a linebacker had a little bit of that. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to phone calls back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
I saw where Johnny Manziel says he's not going to take part in the Heisman Trophy ceremony anymore until Reggie Bush gets his Heisman. But then I still think it's an NCAA violation if that happened now, wouldn't it be, Paulie? What happened to Reggie Bush?
Yeah, I think people are saying that Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back because getting basically paid to play college football is okay now if you follow the NCAA rules of NIL and collectives and so on and so forth. But Reggie Bush, his violation was, in paraphrasing what it was, is he worked with a marketing company to take an advance cash, basically, before the draft, somehow did not follow through with his commitment to the marketing company, and they said he owed them money. They ratted him out to Yahoo Sports, and I think that would still be a violation in today's NCAA if you went behind the scenes and didn't go through your compliance office and NIL to get whatever money you were paid. Mm. And if Reggie Bush was even going to get his Heisman back, two things would have to happen. The NCAA would have to reinstate Reggie Bush and return all his records to him, which would also enact that USC gets their national title back. And then the Heisman would follow suit and say, now that this is in place, we would consider giving his title back. Yeah. All those things would have to happen.
But Johnny Manziel is not going to be part of the festivities there.
Johnny Manziel missing the party should be the lead story.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He needs to miss a party or
right.
two.
He should have missed him years ago.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, NBC Football Night in America, and the mob novel set in 1973 entitled Father of Mine, available as an ebook for just $3.99 on Amazon. Mike joins us on the program. All right, let me start with 18-game regular season. What has to happen for that to happen in the NFL?
Well, the union has to agree to it, first and foremost, because the union initially didn't want 17 games, but once they developed the impression that the league would lock the players out to get to 17 games, then prior union leadership came up with a deal that was a win-win for the players. You look at where the salary cap is right now, that's one of the benefits of agreeing to play 17 games. This current labor deal goes until the end of the decade. I think that's when the NFL starts making the push for 18. And the reason that it hit my radar screen last week, I mean, when you're immersed in the NFL at the scouting combine for 4 or 5 days, you pick some things up. Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns on PFT Live, said that they're proposing a delay of the trade deadline by 2 weeks, one to account for the 17th game and one in anticipation of an 18th game, which got our attention. I started talking to some other people, and they're like, yeah, it's just a matter of time before the NFL tries to get 18 games.
But it can't happen until the, 2030?
It can in theory. That's one of the things that I think becomes a misconception about the union-NFL relationship. They can come up with any agreement they want at any time for anything. They can have side letters. They can rip up the CBA and write a new one whenever they want. They basically did it for COVID. They came up with a new CBA within the CBA when they were trying to figure out how to deal with the financial losses and the impact there. They could do it whenever they want. But I think the best time to fully squeeze the players to go along with it, if you're the league, would be when this CBA expires. But you can't rule out the possibility of an acceleration. They want 18. They've wanted 18 for years. Yeah. They settled for 17.
The onside kick or change, or I should say the kickoff and the onside kick, what is based in reality here?
Well, The NFL wants to make the kickoff a viable play again. At this point, just put the ball at the 25, for crying out loud. Super Bowl, with all those scores and deep into overtime, there was no kickoff return the entire game. It's at the point where they just bang it out of the end zone and off it goes. They want to make it viable. This proposal, and there's multiple different reporters who have put it out there, it's just a matter of time before the league announces it, kickoff from the opponent's 40, the ball has to hit between the goal line and the 20. You've got most of the players packed together like the XFL did, where they're 5 or 10 yards apart and they're just kind of stationary like electric football. Wait, that's what I like about it. It's like the old electric football game. They're all just waiting there for the kid to turn the thing on. At least they won't run in circles when they do. But they want more returns. And this will cause more returns. There will rarely be touchbacks. The only thing I don't like is it takes away the surprise onside kick. One of the most compelling plays in football, Super Bowl 44. The Steelers tried it in Super Bowl 30 and failed. I love the surprise onside kick. That goes away permanently because you can only do an onside kick when you're trailing in the fourth quarter and you have to declare it ahead of time.
That is interesting that you're going to go, hey, we're going to have an onside kick here, guys. And everybody knows there. But you still have to give the team the opportunity to do that, don't you?
Yeah, if the team is trailing. And 10 years or so ago, Roger Goodell was asked who he roots for. He says, I root for the team that's behind. They want the games to be exciting. They want the team that's trailing by multiple scores to have a chance to get back into the game. So you have to have it on the table. I like the surprise onside kick. Yeah. I just like that curveball that can be thrown out there. I mean, maybe that's what the, you know, that'd be a good way to start overtime in the postseason. Not that you can anymore if they pass this rule. Just do a surprise onside kick. If you recover it, all you got to do is score a field goal and you win the game. So I don't like that it might go away, but I do like that they're trying to find a way to reinvigorate the kickoff.
Mike Evans re-signs with Tampa, 2-year deal. That do anything to the marketplace?
Well, I think what it does, first of all, it shows the value of tampering. Most of the time we think tampering hurts the team that's trying to keep a player. When you have the week of the scouting combine and the agents meet with the teams, the agent for the player that's thinking about leaving the team he's been with for 10 years finds out what else is out there or what else isn't out there. All of a sudden that offer from the team that wants to keep him looks better and they get a deal done. And I think it also tells us they know they're keeping Baker Mayfield. I don't think Mike Evans signs that deal without knowing that they're going to have a quarterback that can deliver the football to him. That was one of his priorities. I think the next shoe to drop will be Baker Mayfield agreeing to terms, and then maybe they apply the franchise tag by tomorrow afternoon's deadline to Antoine Winfield Jr.
Any other rule change? The fumble out of the end zone, that's dead?
Dead. Troy Vincent, it was funny. He was on with us last week, and he said when that came up at the competition committee meeting, one of the owners just said, move on. Move on! So they moved on. It's not going anywhere.
Dang. Any other possible rule changes? Anything else discussed?
Well, two things I think worth mentioning. We've known about the hip drop tackle. There's like a 20 times injury rate when you get the grab and the twist and the fall down on the player's legs. So that's something they want to take out of the game. The challenge is crafting a rule that can be properly and easily enforced. The other thing, too, is this notion of intentional grounding being further limited. You know, if you're out of the pocket, if you get the ball to the line of scrimmage or beyond, it's not intentional grounding. They're thinking about taking away intentional grounding. If you're in the pocket and you just throw the ball past the line of scrimmage, making it easier for quarterbacks to bail out, reducing the number of hits on quarterbacks and making sure that more of them are healthy, unlike that rash of injuries we saw this year.
Run us through the calendar of March so the audience knows what to expect.
Tomorrow is the deadline for applying the franchise tag. That's the next big signpost. Next Monday at noon, free agency starts. Now, they call it the legal tampering period, and free agency technically starts Wednesday at 4 Eastern. It starts Monday at noon. That's when the teams are allowed to call the agents or the players directly if they're representing themselves and start making offers. Not that they haven't already, but that's when they can reach agreements in principle. We'll start to see reports about who's signing where. And what happens, Dan, let's say I'm looking for a quarterback and 12 o'clock noon hits next Monday. What happens is the team picks up the phone, calls the agent and says, I want your guy. Here's what I'm offering. I need to know right away whether this guy wants it, because I got the second guy on my list I got to call, and the third guy, and the fourth guy, and they run through it until they get someone. That's why the Bears need to trade Justin Fields if they're going to do it and take Caleb Williams, because the seats are going to start filling up next Monday at noon Eastern.
But if you saw, like, Kirk Cousins going someplace or Baker Mayfield going someplace, does that change the complexion of what's going to happen? Do any of these quarterbacks change the draft?
Well, all the dust is going to settle on free agency in advance of the draft. And you may have teams thinking, if we can get this veteran, then we're less interested in a quarterback in the draft. I think we know, like, the teams at the very top, with the Bears, the Commanders, and maybe the Patriots, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. After that, it's going to be driven by need and whether and to what extent these teams address the need in free agency. And then there's always the chance, and we see this every year, a team signs a free agent, he's the starter, they hold up the jersey, they sell a bunch of the jerseys, and then we find out, first round of the draft, he's not going to be the starter for very long because that same team drafted a guy with the 10th or 11th overall pick.
Which quarterback came out best at the combine?
Well, I mean, Michael Penix Jr. had the best workout of the guys who did work out, but I think it was a win for Caleb Williams. He's already the top prospect. If he conducted himself in the interviews with the teams the way he did when he sat with Chris Sims and me on Friday, and you can see the full interview at the NFL on NBC YouTube page, he gets it. He gets it. He views quarterbacking as a craft. He's already planning for ways to get better at it. He just understands exactly what it takes to be successful. And look, I mean, it sounds like a joke. The Bears haven't had a true franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman. I think after everything we saw and heard last week, they're going to move on from Justin Fields, and they're going to roll their dice with Caleb Williams, and they may end up with a guy who's up in that conversation before too long with Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Always good stuff, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. See you, buddy.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, NBC Football Night in America, insider. Whenever I hear that term, insider, I always think of the great Will McDonough, Boston Globe. But I can't help but think of Chris Mortensen, who just passed away over the weekend. And I mentioned this to start the show. He was just a professional. Mort was, along with Peter King and Mel Kiper, they made the NFL, helped make the NFL 365, because they were giving you information in the offseason, or there was a mock draft. There was something that was coming up that would keep you sort of in the loop with the NFL. The NFL was still making headlines, and it became a 12-month-a-year sport. And Mort certainly was at the forefront of that. And he was just a great reporter. Can't say enough great things about him. He was one of those guys you want on your team, because he was going to get the story. He'd make sure he got the story right. And as I said to my boss one time, when we only had one source on a story, and it was Mort, and I said, we don't need a second source. But we did get a second source, and it proved that, you know, Mort was correct. But he was a good man. Good man, and the sport has lost a pioneer. A couple of phone calls. Rob in Iowa. Hi, Rob. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to give a couple stats for Caitlin Clark that came to me courtesy of Rebecca Lobos, an article that I read this afternoon or yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first one is she's sixth all time in career assists on the NCAA, which is impressive in and of itself. But then further with that stat is there's not a single player in the top 25 in both scoring and assists except for Caitlin Clark in the history of the NCAA. She's the only person in the top 25 in both of those categories.
Yep, saw that story. Her passing, you know, scoring is one thing, but the willingness to pass, you have to want to pass. And sometimes when, you know, and some scorers have this philosophy, why do I want to throw it to you? And Michael Jordan had this early in his career. Why am I going to throw it to you? You might be open, but I might have two guys on me, but I still like my chances to make the shot more than I do. You make the shot. Most of your scorers have that mentality of always thinking about scoring. That's why Nate Archibald led the NBA in scoring and assists one year. And he was maybe maybe 6 feet tall. Ned in Iowa. Hi, Ned. A lot of callers from Iowa today. Hey, Ned.
Hey, Dan. Good morning. It's a great day to be from Iowa. So, best of the weekend, Caitlin Clark setting the scoring record, the Iowa Hawkeyes beating Ohio State, setting up a potential rematch in the Big Ten championship this next week. Worst of the weekend, and I'm a Hawkeye and a Cyclone fan, but on the game day show, they showed a picture of Caitlin Clark with a Iowa State Cyclone logo superimposed. That had to be very embarrassing for the mothership.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, college basketball is fortunate that they have ESPN to be able to showcase their games. You can't make a mistake like that. And what happens is they'll put something in preview, and then the director or producer will look at it, and then they'll go, okay, we good to go with this. All of a sudden, you got Iowa State up there, and nobody saw it. Bob in Florida. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dan.
Sure.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my best of the week is Austin Eckroat winning his first PGA championship this morning. And my worst is Seton's mustache. And you know I'm an Iowa State alum, and Seton is big in Iowa, so he should know the mustache needs to go, because everybody in Iowa would want to see that mustache go, unless you want to put it up for a poll tomorrow.
Okay, I didn't know you had. Wait, what am I missing here, Seton?
Same thing I'm missing.
Everything? Okay, yeah, Paul?
Yeah, Seton has a full, complete beard. He's, as far as I know, he's never gone just mustache.
I mean, it might look like just a mustache because my beard is so thin and weak. However, yeah, I've never had just a mustache a day in my whole life.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's liberating, though, when you do it. When you have a mustache for like a month.
Mm. Maybe I should. Mm. Maybe I should just shave the rest of it and just keep the mustache, just to spite Iowa, who has apparently turned on me.
You were big in Iowa.
Yeah.
You were.
No, still my people.
You were big in Iowa.
No, I'm mad. Well, I'm not at Des Moines right now. I'm still cleaning up in Des Moines, but not so much the greater Iowa proper, I guess.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy, with available seating for up to 7. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.